One of the largest and most influential paranormal conferences in the country, UNIFCON, is coming for the largest and most spectacular event to date. UNIFCON offers a trademark variety of events, including academic workshops, committees, entertainment, ghost hunts, debates, and even social outings. It is more than a conference, it is a cultural event to celebrate the paranormal, its pioneers, investigators, and the attendees. Thousands have attended UNIFCON in the past, and every year the numbers grow. UNIFCON is still the only major paranormal conference held at a university. UNIFCON holds that university mentality of continuing education, research, and a safe environment to present new ideas. It's a place to learn and discuss paranormal investigation methods, psychology and the paranormal, demonology, ethics, and more. Every conference takes place at University Park, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State University. This history. Join us this year, October 18th to the 21st, 2007, for UNIFCON 6, the greatest show on earth. For ticket information, visit www.unifcon.org. That's www.unifcon.org.
Ghost Stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sights you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Shadow governments, strange rituals. New world
shadow
order.
Governments,
strange buried treasures,
new
planetary mind
buried treasure.
Military cover-up, corporate
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind
control,
corporate
presidential
assassination, presidential
assassination,
Out there.
It's a strange world.
Visit OutThereRadio.net for more information.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott O.
Don't forget our listener line is area code 605-475-8590. And then when asked, 555-1081, followed by the pound sign. Evidently, sometimes you get a, your call cannot be completed as dialed. Just keep redialing and it'll let you in.
Yeah, we had a little problem in the break.
I was interested in that.
It's all right now.
It's really bizarre. Our next guest, Doug Yerchi, was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1951. He earned a tennis scholarship to Edinburgh State College, and was an art major. After collecting friends' artwork, he quit college and opened up a gallery called the Art Trek. There he encountered Katrina Sattler, a super psychic, that totally changed Doug's life. Their marriage only lasted 4 years and included a child named Rose. He was inspired to dedicate his life to solving great mysteries, a channeled map. The locations of Atlantis, the cradles of civilization, became his obsession. There were these were 13 special ancient points forming a global grid. Soon, Doug's research came across the scientific genius of Nikola Tesla. Because of Tesla, he understood the map and rewrote history in the process. The idea that our ancestors were technologically superior to those of us today is a vital theme that he currently promotes via any media, probably and hopefully including Ghostly Talk. His website is www.yerchi.com. That's Y-U-R-C-H-E-Y. Doug, welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, Doug.
Thank you, Doug and Scott. This is the second time I've been on the show.
It is.
And yeah.
Yeah, and the last time I didn't really have all the pieces to this puzzle that I've been looking for, these grid points for the last 33 years. And since then, I'll just say it up right now. This girl heard me on, her name is Donna Epstein, and she heard me on Mary Sutherland's radio show. And she knew I was looking for some anomaly at these 13 points. She sent me a Google Earth picture of this strange Indian seen from the air in Canada. And this is the exact spot I've been looking for 33 years. And what I did is I wrote Atlantis Power Grid. Right after she sent me this, I decided to just rework my whole big manuscript, but I could, you know, since I've been writing articles, I'll write a short version of this theory, put it out on the internet, and it has spread everywhere. It's been published in real magazines because of that. And that got me on Coast to Coast. A week ago, I was on Coast to Coast. That's like the Carson Show, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
we know the feeling.
I have the archive. I haven't listened to it, but I was going to try and listen to Coast to Coast, the archives, when driving this weekend, but I didn't get to it. But I wanted to listen to that so bad.
I thought I bombed. I thought I completely bombed, and I was at the lowest point I've ever been.
Oh, now I can't wait to hear it.
I actually pissed George Nori off. Because I was having technical difficulties with my phone, and people perceived this, and a lot of people were listening now because I told them, well, listen to Ghostly Talk because I'll be explaining things that I couldn't get out on Coast to Coast. He yanked me after 1 hour.
And
I don't blame him, you know, because I really messed up the show. I shouldn't have, and people just saw this as him sort of jumping on me, and the next day I got so many emails of support. It was just incredible, and I just loved it. People were actually following what I was saying, and they didn't even hear half of it. So I want to explain these other things that I didn't get out to these people that are listening, and people that are hearing this for the first time, mm-hmm. because who knew that the human race came from greatness? We're not taught that in anything. We're taught that, you know, if you believe Adam and Eve and all that, well, that's a simple Garden of Eden.
Right.
But most people believe the scientists. They think, well, they should know what they're talking about. And they don't even question evolution or Darwin. And if you believe that way, you believe in primates. You still believe that we started out in barbaric, simple way. You know, no one is, even von Däniken says, well, the aliens came in and advanced the primates. We saw it in the movie 2001.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're still talking primates. And I'm going to give a completely different view where we can throw out that idea of primates. I'm going to explain it a different way as a completely different view of history. And, you know, we have these titanic stones and pyramids that can't be built today. We can't move 10 tons. That's true. And there's the Stone of the South that's 5,000 tons. It's a 5,000-ton obelisk in Lebanon.
Oh, right.
It's not standing up. It's on its side. But how heavy was the original stone that obelisk was whittled from? 25,000 tons?
Wow.
This is beyond. So this is not, we're moving it with slaves. And in many of these cases, these are remote areas. They couldn't farm. They couldn't support a large population. So it wasn't slaves. Somebody built this thing, you know.
Mm.
And when I said I did, so I suggest everyone read Atlantis Power Grid. And I started out by saying, because this area was in Canada, and I say the irony there, because there should be the Incan fortresses, those giant titanic stone fortress on the top of the Andes Mountains, it should be all over Canada. If the Indians walked here from Asia.
Yeah, I've often wondered about that land bridge from Asia and things like that. And
exactly.
Why aren't there more, why didn't some just stay here? I mean, when the pioneers went just simply from the Atlantic to the Pacific, they ended up like, okay, I'm done moving. We're just going to build a cabin here, you know. And
why didn't
it happen with everything that came over from Asia, you know? And
yeah, well,
I often wondered about that.
Well, it didn't happen that way, you see.
Ah.
What I'm saying is they had an advanced technology. They had everything we have. We fly. We have spaceships. We can clone. We have lasers today. I'm trying to get the light bulb for people to go on for them that, hey, if there's these things we cannot build that are amazing,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute, maybe they had all that we have and more. And Edgar Cayce also said that, you know.
Yes,
so I actually would like, before I go into some of these grid points. Maybe I should go back and start talking about Tesla, because people don't understand what a Tesla system would look like. We got screwed out of it over 100 years ago.
Thank you to Westinghouse.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you.
Well, no, that's not true. No, Westinghouse was his good buddy, and I think you mean J.P. Morgan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
And even that isn't true, because
really?
I found out that Tesla had all the money. You know, I spoke to Arthur Matthews on the phone once. They co-wrote a book, Tesla and Arthur Matthews. I was a pen pal with someone who knew Tesla. And he tells a completely different story. I think somebody this was Tesla's crowning achievement, 5 years in the making, 1900 to 1905, this huge antenna, it would have changed everything. Everything would be in through the powers of induction. And if I can explain that with a little story that I had, I bought a Tesla coil, and some people don't, you know, they've heard of a Tesla coil, but they're not just sure what it is. You know, it actually is in many appliances as a means to amplify the energy. But I got this little Tesla coil from Edmund Scientific, an old company you could buy scientific equipment. 1 foot high, little ball on the top, copper coils going around, you plug it into the wall, and like a dummy, I put it on this big audio speaker that I had. See, the people know. It didn't take long before I had to take that speaker into the shop. It's the same reason you don't put a magnet on your computer.
Right.
Or audio tapes or things like that. It'll just mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had an early version, this was in the early 80s, an early version of a computer chess game in that room. And that was messed up, too, because of this little Tesla coil. And the coolest thing you can do with a Tesla coil, I think, this little test, is hold on to like a fluorescent tube lighting. It doesn't work with a light bulb, but it works with a tube lighting. And turn the Tesla coil on, put the tube near it, a foot, 2 feet near it, and it lights up in your hands. No wires.
Right.
You see? So imagine that on a much larger scale. A 200-foot tower, thousands and thousands of times more powerful, everything would wirelessly light up, and your within that range your machines would run, your vehicles, everything would have a little antenna device, no wires. And as long as the signal from the station is pumped out and is working, everything within that range is going to have power. So Tesla, in his own time, would have disrupted nothing. This was the horse and buggy era. He wouldn't have been interfering anything. But today, governments know how to build Tesla's tower. They can't. And this is an important thing for people who are finding out about Tesla. I mean, you guys, when you first heard about Tesla, free energy, isn't the first thought, well, wonderful, we should have this.
Absolutely,
right? Yeah, right. Well, there's technical reasons we can't, because if someone built one of these towers, magnifying transmitters, not quite a Tesla coil, but basically it is, and turned it on, and like, say they built a 30-40-foot tower in a city somewhere and turned it on, it would disrupt all the communications, all the TV. There'd be static on the TV, on the radio, on the phone lines, and people, you know, would wonder, well, what is this Tesla coil? It's just messing everything up, you know. No, that system, it's wrong, because that system is incompatible with what we have today.
Well,
100 years ago, he wouldn't have disrupted anything. It would have incorporated all of that.
Thank you. That's what I was talking about.
We went the wrong way.
Did we talk about this with you the last time you were on?
Possibly. Excuse me, because I am talking to some of the people who I told to listen, who I was on Coast to Coast, and I asked them to listen, and there were a lot of things.
No, that's cool.
And I wanted to explain. I'm sort of almost talking to them, because these are things I didn't get out with George Norrie. And, hey, people, thank you, coast to coast. I mean, thousands of people are going to my website. I thought I bombed, and I struck a chord with people.
We experienced.
No, I don't think Doug said that. Doug said that to you, Doug. I don't think our Doug said that to you, Doug. Because we're totally interested in this subject.
What you're talking about?
Well,
yeah.
Well, actually, George was too, and people shouldn't get on his case. For that, because like I said, thank you. I'm really a nobody. I really haven't been published. I've just writing on the internet. You know, I'm a master of things that are for free. You know, if I could have capitalized, it just doesn't work. But anyway,
well, Doug,
took a chance on me, and the outpouring has been wonderful. There's campaigns to get me back on Coast to Coast.
Excellent. Well, I have to say, Doug, first of all, you piqued my interest by writing for paranormalnews.com. They pick up your articles every now and then, or quite often, actually. And just every single time I read you, I'm like, wow, why ain't I thinking of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really appreciate the work that you're doing for free out there. And also we experienced a similar thing. We were on Coast to Coast as well, and although we got the full 2 hours because we didn't have technical issues, we were in the studio.
We were lucky.
Really cool.
We were lucky.
So we were very lucky, but I have to say the reason I asked that question wasn't because it was because I'm so into exactly what you're saying. Somebody told me this before, and it darn near broke my brain thinking about it. Okay? Somebody had said, and it may have been you, right? And that's what I was trying to figure out. Somebody had told me, because I talk about Edgar Cayce a lot, right?
Yeah.
And that often leads into the, you know, the other different related areas. And Edgar Cayce talked about a wireless power system that Atlantis had. It was based on crystals, though, not on, you know, Tesla coils. But still, it's, you know, crystal-based. Anyway, so what happens is somebody told me that the wireless system, and this was on our show, the wireless system would be incompatible with today's electricity as it is now. It would bring down our power grid. And I thought, ow, that concept hurts. Let me think why. And it took me forever, and I kind of understood. But your explanation just now, right, totally made it click in.
Because of my speakers and computer that can mess up. Yeah,
yes,
on a different scale. See, the ancients, that, and I'm making a parallel between the Great Pyramids and all these giant monoliths. That's a Tesla system taken to its max, and we had utopia, but it blew up in our face, and now it lies in ruin. And this is, I know this is a hard thing for people to grasp, because we have been trained, like I said, trained to think, oh, we came from simple times. And yet, what is this super ruins in our past? One other thing that I wanted to make clear, which really ties it together, is that tower that Tesla built that people are familiar with, there's pictures of it in New York, called Wardenclyffe. Okay, here's something very important. That was only the first one of his world grid that, like I said, we got screwed out of. He put it in New York because that, in 1900, was where the large population was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was going to be 8 others at specific global points, because like a radio station, it works on a certain range, and then it terminates. So you had to have another one, and another one, and another one, at certain places all over the Earth. Once you did that, you've covered the Earth with usable frequency. You have power on Mount Everest, the deepest oceans, everywhere on Earth at this world frequency. That incorporates everything. Now, when I saw that, and years earlier, I had this experience with my ex-wife where she channeled these 13 points, and this was this realization I was leading up to. Once I realized that what that Tesla system would look like, and then free energy and everything wireless, I go, oh my God, the only difference is time. This is what the ancients had. This is what those 13 points were. But only, it wouldn't look like a Tesla system. It would look like someone who has mastered these abilities. You know, so there's really no progression in our history. There's the opposite of that, devolution, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had this realization, guys, I tell you, I was thrown to the ground, my legs buckled, nerve went up and down my spine, and I cried like a baby.
I've seen Scott do that, so I understand what you're talking about.
I just did that yesterday, actually.
Because I knew that all of the of creationism was wrong, all of Darwin evolution was wrong. I knew von Däniken and Stitcher, all these things were wrong, and we were that advanced. And I don't think it was aliens, because the human race, we're going to go where the power is. We're going to use that power. And each one of these 13 points brought forth the human race. But after everything blew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they could do everything. They could control the weather. That's why they were able to farm on the top of the Andes Mountains. We can't do that today. So when it collapsed and there were ice ages and things like that, and we were victims of the environment, then we changed physically over a long period of time. And that's why there's one in India, you know, the brown races. There's a black race that came out of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all these grid points. The Asian race the Asians actually came from Lemuria, but I believe they took over the grid point in the Sea of Japan. Then I found out about Russians and all these other things. So it's very controversial. People want to think, oh, God created us. God created all these different races. No, we were one. And that people don't like that. Maybe, you know, I've argued with people. They didn't like the idea that different races came out of one race. And I'm not talking one world government, but in a sense, that's the way you should do it. Like how Buckminster Fuller thought this was spaceship Earth. You know, we are Earthlings. We are one people. I don't like countries. I don't like these divisions and racism and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I see all the different colors of people, and I think humans, these are all these different tribes, in a sense, that were stranded in all these different environments, and that's why we look different, you know. So, if I can go over maybe a few of the grid points and some of the mysteries that are there.
As a matter of fact, that's what I was going to ask you, if you could hit some of the more mysterious of the grid points, because evidently each of them is an interesting place in and of itself.
One I didn't talk about when I was on Coast to Coast is that pillar in New Delhi, India.
Oh, yeah.
Not too many people have even heard of it. It's hard to get a good picture of it. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard the word Vimana.
Mm-hmm.
These were, in India, we commonly call them flying carpets.
Yep.
But if you look at these old books of India that talk of ancient nuclear wars and all these things, there are these flying vehicles, and people think they're stories. This pillar in New Delhi, I believe, was a Tesla coil that powered, through induction methods, all those flying vehicles famous in India.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the back of this shrine called the Qutub Minar, and it doesn't even get respect in India, because they go to see the temple, and they, we have this thing in our back courtyard. It is a 7-ton metal pillar, 7-ton, one piece. Only a modern refinery could make it, could build it, and no one knows who built it. It's called the Ashoka Pillar. Actually, there's other Ashoka Pillars, but this is the non-rusting one. Has never rusted. This is the finest metal. Now, it's electromagnetic, and it's on the opposite side of the Earth as Easter Island. Now, this is actually all connected, because Easter Island gives off a strong magnetic charge. Ships' compasses will turn towards Easter Island. So you have the opposite ends of the Earth, as in magnetic poles, right, with this pillar in New Delhi. And the reason, and I think no one really knows or saw it when it was new. You could look up on the Internet and you could say, this is who built it 500 years ago. But then you read, this is someone else who built it. You find conflicting stories,
right?
Because we can't leave a mystery. We can't you know, so we fill in the gap and we invent these things, you know. So I think it predates every person in India. And all these other places are sometimes are very, very remote. Here's millions of people around this pillar, and they don't realize that could explain their ancient history of the flying craft. When this thing was working, it was probably charged, like you see those bolts in Tesla's lab. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there calmly, and there's a 100-foot electrical arc over his head. You know, these things flashed like that, and these and people don't understand it when I say the ancient stones. How could they be power utility poles? They can be okay. Let me try to explain this in a little illustration that Tesla had. He describes it in a little graphic how the Earth can be used as a conductor of electricity. He has a little tuning fork, mm-hmm. and it vibrates. Pretend that's the tower, a little tuning fork with a that would vibrate with a frequency. So in that frequency, you'd have television, radio, everything that one tower could put out. And then he uses the Earth as like a liquid, so it would vibrate like a lake. And all these towers, no matter what distance they are, all these other tuning forks would suddenly start to beat in syncopation with your first tower. This is how a television signal, radio signal, phone signal can be just use that world tower and be recreated at any one of these points.
And I believe he even demonstrated that in somebody's backyard in like New Jersey or something like that.
Well, the Colorado Springs proved the whole that in 1899 that proved stationary waves, and he knew he could change the world. That's why 1900 mm-hmm. to 1905, dwarfing Colorado Springs was that great tower. But somebody told him, because what he did was combine electricity and radio. But someone even above Tesla told him, "Hey, we're not ready for this. These silly humans are going to make a weapon out of this. World War One is coming, and you know how like you." A certain pitch can shatter a glass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By a certain tone. He was telling people, this is what I've read, and I believe it. Scientists didn't believe it, but he could shatter the Earth in two by turning up. You're using the wrong frequency. You know, you have to use the right frequency, but there's your doomsday weapon right there. Somebody could have, demanded money or something by misusing what that power, instead of freely giving power to everybody, it can be misused and it can destroy everything. So that's why we're not going to have this. And I spoke to Arthur Matthews, who may have been Tesla's son, and I asked him directly, when are we going to have, the ultimate question, when are we going to have Tesla technology? And this man, who may have been Tesla's son, his secret son, told me, we're going to have it so far in the future that no one would ever have heard of Nikola Tesla. If there's one person that's going to last the test of time, it would be Tesla. And so everything has to come down. No more cell phones, no more computers, no more radios, television, the way we're doing it. All of that has to be scrapped and have the new system come in. So who's going to do that? No one's going to come. Look how much they have invested in that. So they're never going to, the governments, they're never going to allow someone to build one of these towers and have this free energy system, because the whole world has to be changed first. We're doing it wrong, but the ancients, the pyramid was beating in sync with the Earth. Everything was healthy and wonderful, but even that can go awry, and that's what happened, I believe. Okay, are you guys still there?
Yes.
We're just listening.
Thank you for letting me go.
We're not going to hang up on
this
you.
Is why I just Nori off, because I hogged the conversation,
No, that's the thing is here, what we try to do is we try to take our cue from the guest. And one of the things that we probably told you the very first time you were on was, it's your time slot.
And we're
we take
very nice
from you.
We're just like anybody else out there listening right now. We're going,
yeah, we're just
crap,
we're just absolutely.
You know?
I have a... probably what's going to be a silly question. You've got the temple in India, right, on one side of the Earth, and then exactly the opposite side of the Earth, you've got Easter Island.
Right.
If In your calculations or in your mappings, was there tectonic shifting?
Yes. I think they were. I think if actually we went, if we could take like a computer simulation of, they wouldn't have changed much, but if they would have changed, if we could get the actual plate tectonics and take them back 60,000 years, I think these points would move towards uniformity rather than randomness.
I wonder if they were active, you know, if they were active 60,000 years ago and remained active for 60,000 years and were still a power source for the Earth, right? If that would have controlled tectonic shifting and there wouldn't be any earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff.
Gee, I don't know about that, because you are using natural forces and tapping into natural forces, and those natural forces are there.
Oh, so maybe you do need the natural forces to continue this to continue.
Yeah, the only one that really has shifted as far as plate movements away from the pattern seems to be Australia. That has, and maybe, see, I'm just guessing because of the grid, how it moved away from the grid, but I'll bet there's geographic evidence that that plate has really moved south, out of the position, you know. So,
interesting. Is there anything in Sedona?
I'm sorry. What?
Is there anything in Sedona, Arizona?
Yeah. See, I've heard that, but not as far as these main 13. See, I've called these other areas substations, like Ed Leedskalnin in Florida and off Bimini. That's not my cradle of civilization, but these were substations that, yeah, the store residue of that ley line energy, vortexes and all these things. Something was going on there a long time ago, and there's still a trace that maybe is even measurable.
That's interesting, because we were talking over the weekend about places of power, including Sedona, Arizona, and, you know, Bimini, and these different places of power that don't have, like, it doesn't have an obvious obelisk, I mean, but it's a place that for some reason people pick up on. Why us humans can pick
there.
Up on that, you know, I don't know,
there.
But they pick up on it and they flock there, and I want to flock there too, but...
This is interesting. The one in Russia, after I wrote my Atlantis Power Grid article, I heard from a fellow named Vlad Pakhomov, and he sent me this picture of a Russian sphinx on the high hillside of, or in the mountains of the Sayan Mountains in Russia. And he says, and it's not a great picture, but you could sort of see a sphinx of the pattern because you're kind of far away from it. And he told me there's this city. They found this ancient city right there with this sphinx. Now, I know the Russians moved great stones. I only realized that 3 or 4 years ago, where there's giant standing stones that the Russians move in prehistoric Russia, and they have these things called dolmens, which make the perfect bomb shelters out of stone, and I think they actually were bomb shelters. But I asked this fellow who sent me this picture and told me about this city in Russia, because I didn't have that much information for the Russian grid point, and I said, Vlad, is this area anywhere near my grid point for Russia? And he said, yes. So that, to me, is Russia's a big country. So here's this concentration of ancient society at my grid point for Russia, just like in Australia, around the Alice Springs area in Australia. There's all these incredible things. I didn't talk about that either. There's also that red rock. You see, it looks like a big plateau. It's a big feature, natural feature in Russia, this rock called Ayers Rock. It's the largest stone on Earth, and it's a giant spike. It goes far down, and it's magnetic. So not only are all these other things around that area, like fused rocks, like some great heat, like a nuclear blast could have fused these rocks together, petroglyphs, strange drawings like in Tassili, but there's this, and it was just not too long ago I realized that maybe they electrified this giant spike, just like, again, another oscillator, another type of tuning fork. That's what I think these totem poles, in Central America, I think these are power stations. When you have these stelae, they're called, and they're laser perfect, and they're one after another, I think this is a power station that oscillated with that energy, and there's a Tesla story that goes with this, too. Tesla created the greatest earthquake in New York City's history.
Oh, yeah.
With a little pocket oscillator that he attached to a building's support beam. And this beam, see, I'm saying this long thing starts to go into oscillation. And suddenly, across the street at a police station, windows were breaking, chairs were moving. The police came in knowing, hey, Tesla's up to something again. To see him take a sledgehammer and shatter this little pocket thing, because the buildup of this energy would have really done damage. He had to destroy it. So what if this thing in Australia was sent into this huge spike of a rocket we only see the red top of? What if that would, because it's in that area. What if that whole thing was electrified, like I think many of the monuments were? Mm-hmm. They're just on a huge scale. You know? But I was saying I could prove the whole caveman thing and the how evolution is wrong and how Darwin is wrong. And there's 2 points I got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
One, I may have mentioned this before, that the Cro-Magnons, who Casey said were Atlantean man, he didn't say the other ones were. He just said the Cro-Mags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so upset they're going to have their own television series pretty soon because of that insurance commercial. That gets into people's psyche, and people believe it, and it's crap, I'm sorry to say. Because they had larger brains than us today. And few people can understand that. If their advanced world that would look like Star Wars, Fifth Element, and all this incredible things beyond our comprehension, you would need this incredible brain, and you know we only use a small fraction of what our potential is. We used more of that. Mm-hmm. Our ancestors did. And that goes with the fall of humanity. Our brain, okay, if we had a nuclear, here we are as modern people, and let's say we have a nuclear war goes off, and mm-hmm. we're now back in the Dark Ages. Well, there goes our computer technical minds, because we're going to have children after children after children now in rags, in caves. Their high-tech world is gone. Their brain would actually atrophy, actually get smaller. That's us. That's us. So that's one real big point that the anthropologists don't want to tell you. They aren't a little bit wrong about these cave people, because they have sloped heads. They're way wrong. They had bulbous heads. They had larger brains, just the Cro-Mags. Now, there's these other ones, Australopithecus, Homo erectus, Neanderthal. There's all. People think those are simple cave people. No, here's the facts. They're all at the same time. That blows Darwin apart. According to Darwin, it was the simple one that ruled the world for so long, and then they slowly changed over millennium and millennium, and here's the next one, and then, oh, we're erect now, we can stand up, you know. That's not the facts. The facts is they were all together. So what these people really were the Cro-Mags were the brainiacs. They were the scientific people and all that, but they could clone workers and armies and slaves. Not in the beginning of Atlantis when everything was wonderful, but Casey talks about how physical everyone has gotten, and this degeneration. They would degenerate to a state where they would just make workers. We've seen it in the film Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
Aldous Huxley. They had A-class citizens, B-class citizens, D-class. The D-class citizens were changed. They were working in radioactive tubes. They had no minds. They just had a computer chip in their head. Yeah, this is fiction, but something like that, I mean, that almost makes sense. If you had a high technology, a civilization of a high technology, and it went to hell, if it was corrupt, you would actually have attack of the clones. And Casey talks about some of the wars were about the rights of the things. He didn't have the word clone. He had the word things. So wars were fought with the things, about the things. Are they sentient beings? Are they property? If you're cloning somebody, isn't that your property? So, I mean, these are very heavy issues, but a world gone to hell, you would be cloning monsters. And I think that's what the mythological animals, half animal, half man, half horse, and half bull and all that, those are genetic experiments which I believe a great flood had to happen. I think I know why the great flood happened. For one thing, it happened everywhere. There's seashells on Mount Everest. So this was water world, and this was to bring down the radiation levels for the nuclear wars. It would clean the world and also wash away all these warlords and cloners and monsters, and they're all under sedimentary deposits of under the ocean, and everything else has been reused. But how people don't believe the Great Flood or that biblical story, and I forget if I mentioned this last time, but how could one family actually take care of all the animals? No one believes that,
right.
And I don't blame them. But if the animals were reduced to their genetic codes, like we saw in Jurassic Park.
Oh.
Yeah.
This was the caretaker. This was a family who was the caretakers of all these storage units. You know, we've seen the, supposedly it landed on Mount Ararat, and I think during the Russian Revolution they had pictures of it,
mm-hmm.
and it's the most, I think one battleship was made in the proportions of Noah's Ark because it's the most buoyant thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they were just the human animals that took Noah and his family. And there's an Indian Noah. There's an Asian Noah. So they all sailed, and we're just the results of all that. And so...
That really hurt my elbow, actually, Bonnie. What you're saying is that there, like you just said, there wasn't just one Noah or one family that did
no,
this.
No, the Chinese stuff. Have their Noah. The Indians have their Noah, and it all goes back. And they all, I think it was caused for good reason. I think the destruction of Atlantis, actually, which goes back to 12,000 years, was actually pulled by the good guys, the self-destruct switch, because these bad forces that Edgar Casey called the Sons of Belial were going to use the power for terrible, terrible reasons. So I think they said, okay, no one's going to have the power. So they cut off the switch, and that's why Easter Island was stranded, and they kept making receiver after receiver after receiver, because they thought the problem was in the receiver. The problem was in the station. You know, when your TV goes wrong, when your TV is messed up, you turn the channel. Do you wonder, is it your receiver or is it the channel?
Mm-hmm.
And this power that was always in the air now wasn't. And they could still levitate some things, because I think if you hit that frequency, I mentioned Ed Leitzgelman, you know, I was going to talk slower. No, I can't. I always start rambling because I'm
no,
a rambling
it's,
guy. And I keep going. But Ed Leitzgelman had... These tuning devices, because we saw that in Search Of, he moved Coral Castle, he'd have the driver look away or go behind a building, and suddenly this little man built this couple ton object that's now lifted and put on the pickup truck. How did he do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think he had this little tuning device. He said he had the answer to the pyramids. And I think, whoop, but he didn't want people to show that. So if you have these little, you hit the right frequency, you can anti-gravitate something. And I got to interview someone named Ralph Ring. You should look up Ralph Ring and Otis T. Carr. Otis T. Carr was a disciple of Tesla. We almost had saucer travel on the market 50 years ago. It's true.
Really?
Saucers, anti-gravity was given to Eisenhower, and these guys knew, but I wrote an article called Otis T. Carr and the Tesla Saucers. If Tesla was going to build a saucer, it's going to work. And Carr was in charge of having this, and the government came in and shut it down. And I interviewed, they shut it down saying, oh, this would disturb this would ruin the monetary system of the United States.
Yeah, all the automakers. Yeah, meaning
so they actually came in funds. And confiscated 45-foot-long saucer that worked, and
wow.
I interviewed Ralph Ring, who was on the test flight. He went at like the speed of light, and they came in, and he's still alive. I talked to him, Ralph Ring, and he actually hovered a ping pong ball on acoustics, on this little vibration, and it was funny. He was working at this plant that had it was a government facility, and they were building these. They're working on anti-gravity. They're burning out these coils, $500, $400 coils every few hours, and they were anti-gravitating things, levitating things. He came in. He goes, no, not through magnetics, just through sonics. And he showed them how it could work, this government facility. When they saw this, they shredded his notes because they weren't interested in finding the answers. They were paid a lot of money to look for the answers.
Oh, they job security,
want,
yeah.
They didn't want the answers. And so, and here's the really funny thing. They took these saucers, and 50 years ago, people, Tesla patented, and it's actually patented. I think it's 291-2244, I think it's the patent
wow,
number.
Man.
Of a toy saucer, but the principle is the same. And the government came in, they thought they could hook up, make a weapon out of it. They couldn't pilot these type of saucers because it worked with the mind, and you have to have an enlightened mind like Tesla. So I think the government had, maybe that was part of the whole Area 51, too, to develop, hey, these saucers don't work. We have to come up with another type. And I think they have. The Germans worked on, there are pictures of Nazi saucers. Ralph told me they were unsuccessful. But he actually went on a flight, and he's still alive today. And if you look up my article, there's an interview with the man. So,
wow.
Yeah. Anti-gravity is a science, and I'm saying it's a fact. And so if the ancients, which you can see in their monuments, which aren't monuments, are utility poles, and they had a function, they were greater than us, then certainly they had anti-gravity and lasers to cut those giant stones. That's all you need.
So, well, I have to say, Doug, this is a lot of information to digest. However, I've heard threads of of this information before. I have to say, I did not know anything about a Russian Sphinx that I can remember.
Mm.
But
this is pretty new, and
right.
You can't even get a good picture of it
because it's so far away from where you
so
can
far,
get a vantage
point. Yeah, it's so far away, and they're trying. Yeah.
But I'm telling you that I've heard, and of course I've studied Casey, and a lot of what he says, and what you're saying here, what you're saying does seem to flesh out.
Oh, yeah.
What I already know from Casey and what I already
Absolutely.
Thought I knew of Tesla. what happens is I want people to picture, because I don't want people to keep, you know, say, oh, you know, if you can't just plug it in, you know, into the wall, you know, I know what electric feels like because I stuck a fork in the wall socket when I was a kid. I want people to picture this first before closing off your minds to it, is that the system that Edgar Casey had talked about anyway, which this could or may not be similar, okay? It wasn't based on, you know, huge wound coils and spinning magnets in it, okay?
Well, that would be a simple way to do it. No, I'm not saying... I'm saying that same idea of an oscillator would be in a Titanic stone totem.
Right. Well,
see,
that would... And that's true, but Casey, and that could do it. I mean, you could simply take our current AC producers and stick it in a giant stone totem.
Yeah, you're not going to wrap copper wires around it. That would be a primitive way of doing it.
Right. So, yeah, but you could definitely, you know, do something on the inside. Or Casey mentioned that it was not based on copper and magnetism. It was based on
crystals. Right, but.
And whenever you hear him talk about crystals, you hear him talk about vibrations.
Crystal radios.
Crystal, yeah. As a matter of fact, that's how you talk on your cell phone. That's how we listen to AM and FM.
Right, but I'm saying there's a crystalline property even with granite and sandstone.
There is.
Limestone.
There is.
Sure.
All of these things have frequencies and vibrations and things like that. So, I want you to picture. The ability to use these properties to generate some kind of electricity that floats through air. Then, when you can figure this out, when you've seen, and I know people have seen people hold a tube in the air, one of them fluorescent tubes in the air, and watch it glow because it's in the presence of either a Van de Graaff or a Tesla coil, right? And if you've seen that glow, or if you've been in Mansfield. And you've gone down that one corridor, and that weird one is just glowing for absolutely no reason, okay?
Yeah.
Mansfield is a former prison. If you've seen these things glowing for no reason, it's getting power from the air somehow. This, I think, Doug, you're right. I think it probably happened. It happened in a long time ago in the past, and with technology that we can't even fathom, including lasers and power through the air and flying
and
cars
much,
and
much more.
And everything you're talking about.
Because right now, can't we? I mean, we have spaceships. We can go to another planet.
But we're doing it a very primitive way.
And we can clone. So right now we can go to another planet, clone ourselves, and leave. And
yes.
Those people were there for so long, they might even forget how they got there. And that's the human race. And that's another origin theory that no one else is saying, so I want to say that. Oh, and I'm sorry, one good point I haven't mentioned was what's in Brazil. And this is one that's important because it was discovered in 2002. It came to my homepage because, you know, they'll have like headlines, new discovery in the Amazon.
Right.
They thought the Amazon was pristine, untouched before the Europeans came. There should be nothing there. And I even remember this, the entity with my wife. I remember 33 years ago when she put this sticker on this place, and I said, are you sure? Brazil? And she just nodded, yeah. And here, 33 years, you know, 2002, I discover, it comes to me, the work of Michael Hecklenberger, and his team was totally baffled. This has been written up in Science Magazine, Science Digest. Grids! The word grids, because these things, there are these main grids and grids within a grid, because the energy is brought to the main complex or pyramid or mound or whatever and distributed wirelessly to the other ones in an area. So here's a worked on area that I think it was the fruit gum company that's bananas that they're
I remember
that. They're hacking the Amazon and they find roads, bridges, plazas, thing all lined up in grids. I never expected this. This was 2002.
I remember reading
this. Son of a gun, that is my Brazil position. So I thought at that point, I found them all. 12 out of 13 isn't bad. And like last time I was here, and then Canada happened. I thought the Canadian grid point was the one point that was totally wiped out, and because that's a hard area.
Yes.
Snows and everything. It wasn't rebuilt, so there you go. And like I said, all these Indians came down on me saying, "No, there's presence of Indians." I was talking about prehistoric Indians, and this face exactly. It's right above the United States, on the border of Alberta and Saskatchewan, and that's the place I've known about. And just some months ago, Donna Epstein sent me the Google pictures. If you go to Atlantis Power Grid, you can get the coordinates. You can put them in Google Earth. People have sent me other things in that area doing that. They sent me a second face. And on Unexplained Mysteries, I found out why that has never been researched. An Indian there on this thread told me what that place was and why no one knows about it. It's on Suffield Base in Canada. It's the most highly, it's the biggest testing, weapons testing range on Earth. So to me, it's like a NASA image on Area 51.
This is fascinating because they're testing weapons on, you know, one of the 13 places of power, which is just absolutely insane.
No one knows about that. And isn't it strange that these are the Copper Hills? I thought weapons testing ranges were like on the Salisbury Plain. I thought it was on a plane. But no, this is all a restricted area. I'm almost wondering.
Because we supposedly test in the desert. Hey, Doug, we are right.
Yeah, we
were
already up
over
right against the break.
Time.
No, that's great. I just wanted to say thank you to the people, to you guys.
Thank
and
you,
the people
Doug.
Who heard me on Coast to Coast and have written to me. And thank you all.
No, we appreciate you coming on, Doug.
I want to also say thank you to Coast to Coast and George Norrie for having you on. I'll be listening to that episode later on in the week. And also, this is the kind of programming that really makes you think if you keep your mind open.
Yeah.
And if you open yourself to this stuff.
You haven't heard me
you,
very much this last hour.
If you read about, you know, Edgar Cayce, about Tesla, about if you go to yurchi.com, Y-U-R-C-H-E-Y.com, and study these things. It's not like it's hidden. Study these things and open your mind to it, because this is something that it takes me a long time to figure out, wireless energy. You guys, we do have to go to break. Doug, please
stay on the line
for one thing. We do have to make one quick announcement before we go to break. We have to do this.
Okay, guys.
Hang on the line for one second, Doug. Don't leave us, all right?
Thank you.
All right. All right, guys, real quick before we go to break, we're against the clock right now, but we do have to get this question out. We have to get this trivia question out. Do you want to read it this week, Doug?
Okay.
If you should, go. Well, it's on your thing, too.
Oh, is that? Never
it's
mind.
On the top.
You have yours back. This is our question that we're going to give away a ticket to the Mid-South Paranormal Convention coming up in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's next month in Louisville, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Way before that, on July 2nd, 1947, this is the easiest question on the planet, a UFO supposedly crashed in what U.S. city?
That's on July 2nd, I will repeat it, on July 2nd, 1947, a UFO supposedly crashed in what U.S. city?
Even I know this. You guys call in, area code 605-475-8590, asks, the secret number is 555-1081 followed by a pound sign. And when you're in, you can press 1-1 to raise your hand. We'll know that you think you know the answer, and we'll ask you. But we do have to go to break, and we have to do it right now. Thank you, Doug Yurchi. Everybody go to yurchi.net,
Y-U-R-C-H-E-Y.com,
Y-U-R-C-H-E-Y.com, and we are off to break, and we'll be right back with Thomas D'Agostino.